about. It only makes it worse to live.
Yes, wouldn't it be nice? Beach Boys with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra from their 2018 album of remix of Beach Boys recordings with an orchestra in the background. Sounds lovely, doesn't it? Sounds lush. What a lovely way to start a Sunday, really. Can't get much better than that. The Beach Boys and Wouldn't It Be Nice. So welcome to the show. As per usual, it's all a bit bonkers in musical genres. All over the place, and to prove that, I'm going to get on with it. Let's play some music, and it's a band I really liked around about the late 70s, early 80s, called the Q-Tips, and sadly they folded, and the singer went solo, and there's one of his songs, which is very Marmite, as in it splits opinions. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to wait and hear what the Paul Young solo song is, so we'll talk about it afterwards. But I am feeling some kind of wonderful, so cue the Q-Tips.
I got more than I could ask for. fights hard and ambitions alone, and resentment rides high, but emotions won't grow, and we're changing our ways, taking different.
Some Kind of Wonderful indeed. Brilliant band, the Q-Tips, featuring Paul Young on vocals. He's from Luton, isn't he, Paul, Mr. Young? And really good band. And I remember seeing him on telly around that period. I don't know what it was. It might have been one of the Children in Need or something. And it went live to Luton, which is pretty rare. And up popped this band on the telly, the Q-Tips. And it blew my head away when I saw them. I thought, what the hell's this? They all had the two-tone tonic suits on, big brass section. And a certain Paul Young singing. And it left its mark. Because if you think about what I got up to a few years later with a band known the Blues Collective, it did leave its mark. And I had a lot of time for the band. And the band were a real cult band. The Q-Tips, I'm talking about. And they went up and down the country and played all the top clubs and a big university band as well. There was still a university circuit. in them days, and they got so popular, they did actually get a record deal, and that's where that album come from the first album, I think, released around about 1980. And then the band eventually broke up in 1982 when the singer, Paul Young, of course, signed a solo recording contract with CBS. And they made that breakthrough album, wasn't it? No Parlez. And that song, Love Will Tear Us Apart, obviously, I think the song has torn a few people apart. People, how dare you cover such a, you know, a treasured song. But I like it. I like his vocals on it. And I remember a program controller at Horizon Radio. He was a really good guy. I've spoke about him before, Clive Dickens, and he gave me and George sort of free rein to really do whatever we do. But he said, the only thing you're not doing is you're never playing Love Will Tear Us Apart by Paul Young, because he loved the Joy Division version so much. And, I've got a lot of time for Paul Young. I think he's a really good singer, and he seems a really good guy. And I like that solo band that he put together, especially the backing singers. I thought they were fantastic. Not just in their vocal talents, but in their attitude. I think along with them, with Human League as well, really like their backing singers. And again, that influenced me with the Blues Collective when I got Kaz and Maeve in to be much the same. And they probably had double the amount of attitude that Paul Young's backing singers. So yeah, different start to the show. Now for some inspirational carpets and a band who I'm sure inspired the inspirational carpets.
Husband don't know what he's done. Kids don't know what's wrong with mum. She can't say, they can't see. Putting it down to another bad day. Daddy don't know what he's done. Kids don't know what's wrong with mum. So this is how it feels to be lonely. This is how it feels to be small. This is how it feels when your world means nothing at all. Black car drives through the town. Some guy from the top estate left a note for a local girl, and yet he had it all on a plate. So this is how it feels to be lonely. This is how it feels to be small. This is how it feels when your word means nothing at all. We'll be right back.
are filled with fire. If they say I never loved you, you know they are a liar. Driving down your freeway, midnight alleys roam, cops in cars, the topless bars, never saw a woman
tunes, good tunes. This is how it feels from the Inspiral Carpets. And then I dare say a band who inspired the Inspiral Carpets. LA Woman, The Doors. Can't beat The Doors. Love The Doors. Inspiral Carpets, that track, This Is How It Feels, that came from the album Life, released back in March 1990. And apparently it's a song about a working class mother having an affair. There you go. That's what the singer told us. Oh, and yeah, but it's a good song. But actually, to be fair to Inspiral Carpets, I don't think I get enough credit, really. A bigger band than I think you imagine or sort of Yeah, yeah, as you can imagine, because, yeah, they've had some good songs and had a great career and worthy of it and very popular too. LA Woman, The Doors, came from the title track of their last album, actually, before Jim Morrison sadly passed away. LA Weekly named it number one in their list of the 20 best songs about the city of Los Angeles. What I find interesting is what I've discovered through my reading, because I'm always reading about rock stars and in books, is in the bridge, as in probably the middle part of the song, Jim Morrison repeats the phrase Mojo Rising, which is an anagram of his name, Jim Morrison. And he was very proud of that he got that in. And another bit of useless information that may interest you or may not is that a yellow sheet of lined A4 paper with the lyrics of the track, handwritten by Jim Morrison, was recently auctioned in Berkshire, and it got £13,000. As Michael Caine would say, not a lot of people know that. Okay, let's put a spanner in the works. Monkey, that is.
This is a heavy, heavy monster sound. Hitting you smack dab right through the middle. And ripping right on.
Heavy.
Monster sound. And you smack that butt in the middle.
I love a bit of early Trojan. Can't beat it, can you? What a sound. What a sound. You could go in the greatest digital recording studio in the world and you would never be able to get that sound of them two songs, would you? They're just brilliant. So that's what I love about the early Trojan stuff, the ambience of it. First track up, Monkey Spanner, Dave and Ansel Collins. That followed their huge international hit, Double Barrel. Yeah, that was a massive tune. I can remember that. I can remember growing up in that, sort of dancing around the living room. As I've said before, proud owner of a pair of Squire shoes and Levi's Day Press. Yeah, Ben Sherman shirt, doing the little shuffle that you'd learnt from other people. And then obviously, well, it's got to be one of the best known instrumental songs, probably giving Green Onions a run for its money, Liquidator, because it's become a football tune, hasn't it? Chelsea, much to my, I have trouble saying that word, really. Chelsea, it's their song. You've got to give it to them. And though I have heard it around Wickham Wanderers, I've heard it personally, Northampton and Wolverhampton Wanderers, another one. They really like that. And even, I'm told, West Bromwich Albion and up in Scotland, St Johnson. Big football song, but a great song. Okay, they were in the 70s. Let's move into the 80s. A band I've always really liked at the time, still like now. Think they're brilliant. Tears for Fears. We'll be right back.
talk about it.
If you're a worried man, I am.
Shout about it.
Two great songs from a really, really great band, Tears for Fears. Still out there rocking it. Interesting characters, aren't they? Not sure I'd want to be stuck in a lift with them, but I do find them interesting and I love their music. And it's that song, Pale Shelter. I didn't know this, actually. It was the second single and they released it in 82 and it didn't chart. It didn't get there and it was they released it. Then they re-released it, remixed it, and did it in 83, and it blew everybody's head off. Got to top five, and it was taken, wasn't it, from the debut album, which was a really one of the albums of the 80s, without a shadow of a doubt, The Hurting. Sowing the Seeds of Love, if you ask me for my favourite Tears for Fears track, it is that, probably because the obvious Beatles influence on it, and came from the, and that was the first single from the third album they made, Seeds of Love in 1989, and that was a massive, massive hit all around the world, and absolutely deservedly so, because that is a classic tune, Sowing the Seeds of Love. As Pale Shelter was good, but Sowing the Seeds is on the money, as they say. Okay, I have to give you a public warning here. I'm about to play some progressive rock, And if you're going to play progressive rock, there's only one band you can really play. Yes is the answer.
Never thinking of the future. told you so. The life you're leading, she won't believe the rest of the life we own.
There you go, I got away with it. Prog rock on the radio. No one plays it today. It's got a massive millions of people following progressive rock. But how many times have you, could you put your hand up and say you've heard Yes on mainstream radio apart from the first song? And that's not really a Yes, although it's a Yes song and it was their massive hit. I always put that down to Trevor Horn, really, as in when he joined the band bizarrely. And that's a brilliant song, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I love Owner of a Lonely Heart, but it was a bit of a sidestep for Yes, wasn't it, from what they've done previously and probably done since. But I love band, sold millions of records. You never really talk about it. No, you don't hear them on the radio, like some of the great songs, as in, excuse me, No Opportunity Necessary, No Experience Needed, from the brilliant album Time and a Word, released back in 1970. And that No Opportunity Necessary, No Experience Needed is a cover version. And it's written by them, the brilliant and very talented Americanized Richie Havens. And the soundtrack, as in the orchestra, big sound, is from the film The Big Country. So there you go. So they were sampling stuff, Yes, back in 1970, long before the hip-hop boys got on the scene. And it was a big success, that album. The single, Owner of Lonely Heart, was their first and only and number one in America single, that is. Okay, that's enough of Yes. You can relax now. I've played prog rock. You're all right. You've got through it, and you can now recover with some Talking Heads and the brilliant Mr. Baby.
What we want, and the future is certain. Give us time. light. Wind was blowing, time stood still. Eagle flew out of the night. He was something to observe. Came in close, I heard a voice. Standing, stretching every nerve. I had to listen, had no choice.
Great tunes. Road to Nowhere, Talking Heads, Salisbury Hill, Peter Gabriel. Road to Nowhere, released back in 1985, remember that well. My good friend and bass player in bands, many bands I've been in, Dylan Jevons. Always had a lot of time for Talking Heads, and therefore I got to listen a lot of times to Talking Heads with Dylan. Released as a single back in 85, reached number 25, should have been higher, should have gone to number one really when you think about it. And I think I might have mentioned it before, David Byrne, the brilliant David Byrne. What a character, what an artiste. I think if you want to define a musical artiste, it's David Byrne, isn't he? He doesn't seem to really put a foot wrong. Absolutely brilliant, fascinating character, brilliant musician. And he said, I wanted to write that song that presented a sort of resigned but joyful look at doom. Yeah, okay, thanks. Yeah, yeah, you're all singing. You sing along very happily, don't you? It's a song you probably whistle, you know. But the actual words are saying you're on a road to nowhere, mate. You know, like that. Salisbury Hill, also, what a tune that is. Peter Gabriel, his debut solo single after shocking everyone, I think, when he left the band Genesis. I'm mentioning prog rock again. I'm going into dangerous waters. Genesis, like Yes, were a huge prog rock band, and he was a big part of that. If you see some of the early footage of Genesis, it's I'm going to say it's quite hilarious, really, what Peter Gabriel got up to. I'm not sure what he was on at that period in his life, but he came up with some absolutely bonkers stageware, shall we say, a huge flower and a tree, and it was bizarre. But he dropped all that and got back to music, and so he recorded that song, and top 20 hit, got to number 13, and got in the top 100, or top 50 in the Billboard chart. Okay, time for some classic Bowie, and a message from Grandmaster Flash.
Thank you. like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much, it's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job, there's a strike at the station. Neon King Kong standing on my back, can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane, I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me, call, close to the edge. Trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
State of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song, cause he hate the places you play and where you stay. Looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers, driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you wanna grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turn stick up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is took and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused to serve like hell, till one day you was found hung dead in a cell. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Good songs, great songs, Fame, David Bowie, and then The Message. What a groundbreaking song that was. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. Don't push me. I'm not going to start being one of them DJs who sing over songs, sorry. And you'll be relieved that I am not. Fame, that was a great song, wasn't it? Released from what? Probably the most daring album of the 70s, really. Because if you consider where David Bowie was pre-1975, he was the biggest rock star on the planet, without a question of doubt. The 73, 74 was just his years. No one could get near him. He was on fire musically, and his stage presence, hiding behind Ziggy Stardust through, you know, Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars and Aladdin Sane. And even still had that mystique in Diamond Dogs, which is a fascinating period of David Bowie's career as well. But really, the Young Americans just tore it all up, didn't they? No more that. No more rock and roll. I'm going down this road, and this sort of American soul, and it's really his soul, isn't it? It's unlike anything else. And I put my hands up at the time. I'm thinking, what are you doing? I want Rebel, you know. I want Gene Genie. I don't want this, you know. And at any time, you realise what an idiot I was. And still am, for saying such a thing or thinking such a thing, and couldn't sort of accept that the guy in question, Mr. Bowie, wanted to move on. That was written by John Lennon and Carlos Amor, recorded in the famous Electric Lady Studios in New York in January 1975. Yeah, John Lennon, that's not bad, is it? Apparently he really come up with a song. I think he just played a little bit of his guitar and shouted across the room, "Fame!" Again, a bad impersonation of John Lennon, but that's the truth of the matter. If you go and do your own work or see some documentaries, they will tell it far better than I have. Then The Message, Grandmaster Flash. What a great song. Yeah, big breakthrough. Oh, excuse me. big breakthrough song, wasn't it? And really started the hip-hop scene. I don't know. I don't know enough about hip-hop. I shouldn't say that, really. I think it was a major influence to get hip-hop, I think, in the mainstream. Yeah, there must have been other people around it, so I'm not in there. Grandmaster Flash and a few, so I really... So I read a lot of rock books and read a lot of biographies and critics, people who really know what they're talking about, unlike me, they do really regard them as one of the best groups of all time. And to prove the fact, they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2007 and the first hip-hop group to be inducted. Okay, it's Sunday, so it's time to get holy.
Can I make your garden grow? chances on a big jet plane. Never let them tell you that they're all the same. The sea was red and the sky was gray. I wonder how tomorrow could ever follow today. The mountains and the canyons start to tremble and shake as the children of the sun.
Houses of the Holy from the brilliant Led Zeppelin, from the album Physical Graffiti, not the previous album, Houses of the Holy, which you'd have thought they would have put that on it, wouldn't you? Strange, really, but they just said it didn't fit with the rest of the album at the time. So they put it on the shelf, and then, I don't know, a couple of years later, or whenever the period was, and put it out on Physical Graffiti. That was a big album at the time, Physical Graffiti, 1975 that came out, and it delivered. I do like bands who deliver the expectation. Sometimes I put The Who in it, really. After Quadrophenia, I was so excited, waiting and waiting a long time, because The Who are not really that prolific in the studio for a follow-up. And I was hoping for a Who's Next stroke Quadrophenia. And Who by Numbers didn't really deliver. Sorry, Pete, but it didn't. And it didn't. But the album after, Houses of the Holy, which wasn't that well received, it's got to be said that Zeppelin took a different feel and went down some different avenues, and people really wanted them to be what they are, you know, a rock band, and Physical Graffiti really did deliver that. Still, it stood the test of time as well, mainly because of John Bonham. I mean, the drums are just on another level and recorded in such a manner that, yeah, changed the landscape of sort of recording drums really for many a years, until it all got a bit electronic. Going to California, originally featured on Led Zeppelin on their 1971 album, but that's a nice take from Amy Lee, like that. And I'm not the only one. YouTube, it's had 4.7 million views, so there you go, that's not bad either. It used to get a gold record, I think, for 100,000 sales. They should have like gold YouTubes or something, shouldn't they? So if you reach 1 million, you should get recognition of it. Fair play to you, you know, but you don't, do you? Although you might get 50p in royalties, but you don't get the recognition. And funny enough, talking about recognition, what a fantastic link, unwritten that was, unscripted. I'm going to end the show with Slade, okay? And I love Slade. And I've read the book by Noddy Holder's biography. One of the best music books you can read. If you fancy reading about people you know or bands you like, go and get Noddy Holder's, because he's brilliant. It's just the way he tells stories. And the story of Slade is really interesting. They worked so hard to get to where they got to. And again, a bit like Yes, but actually more than Yes, they seem to be the forgotten band. And what people have forgotten is Slade were bigger than David Bowie in the early 70s. You know, 72, 73, not 74. 72, they were the biggest band in England by a country mile. You know, Boland went toe-to-toe with them, but sort of, you know, just fell by the wayside. No one could touch them. And it was crazy, really, because they didn't have much street cred, but perhaps they did because they just didn't care what they looked like. They did look pretty ridiculous. The Dave Hill haircut has to be the worst rock and roll haircut in the history of rock and roll. But you love the guy, and the people really love the band. I don't know if it was the times we were living in at that point. 3-day weeks, you know, strikes everywhere, strife, you know, inflation. If you think inflation's high now, then you want to go back to the 1970s. You know, you were queuing up for petrol then, which was unheard of. We've got used to it now. We quite enjoy it, I think. And there were Slade just banging out these great pop songs. But they were a great rock band, a real, really good unit, like the Beatles in a way. You know, the chemistry was right, and when they played live, they really connected. And I know that because I saw them at Queensway Hall in around about the 80s, just after they had their big sort of revival success by absolutely stealing the Reading Festival around that period. I think they were about, you know, three before the end, and no one wanted to go on after them. I think they got like four encores from the crowd. Yet, music critics never hear them on the radio, and I've seen musical documentaries made, and oh yeah, Slade, like, really? And I always remember, when I look at Kiss from America, I'm thinking, what? You're just Slade. And actually, you're not as good as Slade. Yeah, they were massive in America, but Slade couldn't seem to crack America. And that's strange. And it's strange. The music is definitely, they just nicked everything that Slade did. I remember going into, was it Rumblow's? I don't know. One of the FLMOR's, the record shop in Bletchley, and putting on the headphones, all excited about to hear Kiss. And I just, you know, thinking, what's this? This is Slade, you know, this is secondhand Slade, you know. So I'm going to pay tribute, here you go, to a brilliant band. And who I love, and I'm sure the nation still loves, Slade. You are brilliant, and this is a great opening song, one of the best pop rock and roll songs ever. And followed by one that you don't hear hardly at all, but I like. How does it feel? The show might have been shorter this week. I have no idea. My wife says I talk too much, so I've probably pulled it back a little bit. Hope you've enjoyed it. Keep with the show. Keep downloading it. Keep telling your friends. Slade.
Goodbye to Jane. does it feel? Running around, round, round. How does it feel? Watching from upside down. 'Cause many years from now there will be new sensations and new temptations. How does it feel? How does it feel? Right after start. And how does it feel when you are thrown?
Still some